Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, and today I am joined by Georgia. Georgia is a loving mum to Noah, Tally, and Melody, and they are, well, I think Noah is full Dalmatian. Is that right, Georgia?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yep, and Tally is a Rotty cross, yep. And Melody is a Dally cross. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So welcome, Georgia. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah.
Good stuff. So today, everyone, me and Georgia are going to be talking about how dogs are individuals and how Georgia has to cater for different dogs with different needs. So to kick off, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Noah, Tally, and Melody?
Yeah. So we got Noah 6 years ago now, and because she's a Dalmatian, she has to have a low purine diet. So she can't have things like liver, certain types of offal, oily fish she can't have, so we have to be careful. A lot of the pre-made raws have offal in already, so we have to make sure that we avoid any of those. And then Mel, to be honest with you, Mel is the easiest one because she can just eat anything. She doesn't really have anything going on with her. And then Tally we got almost a year ago now, and he's had a lot of trouble with his gut, so we've had to try and incorporate things to try and help keep his gut happy as well. So that's been a big thing for him.
Oh, bless him. I see loads of young dogs that have gut issues, you know, lately. Yeah. It's like one of the most common things that I have to deal with. And lots of them are puppies as well. And it's so frustrating because it's like, I feel like... if you are going to get problems, it should be something that comes later on in life.
Yeah.
Not like from the word go. It's so saddening to see.
It is, yeah. He really struggled. We got him at 3 months old. He's a rescue. And for the first couple of weeks, it was really difficult, like, with him. Yeah. But we did take him to the vets and they weren't particularly helpful. Like, they didn't really know what to do with him. They suggested a probiotic to us, which was good. But yeah, the raw was really helped. He was on kibble previously in his foster home, so
yeah,
it's been much better for him.
Yeah. So were the girls already on raw when you brought him home?
They already were. Yeah. So
yeah. So it was easier to just to integrate him into the raw diet as well. So it's not something you started with all three of them at the same time.
No. When I got Noah, when she was 2 years old, I put her straight onto raw, but weirdly she was quite fussy to begin with and she didn't want to eat it. So for the first 2 weeks she was like, oh, I don't want to eat that, but yeah, she did like realize that actually the raw was tastier than what she was eating. But
yeah,
and now she wouldn't eat anything else, I don't think. But
yeah. Oh, you see, my dogs think kibble's like McDonald's. They do. Like, if they go anywhere and there's kibble, they're always like thinking that it's great, and I'm like, eh? do you know what you get fed at home?
The girls, when I used to live with my mum, they used to love the cat's food. They'd always go for the cat food because they were just on, they weren't my cats, they were on bog standard cat food, and they absolutely loved it.
Yeah, well, when we moved to this small holding, we moved in with the cat because the cat stayed here because he's lived here all his life. Well, he's a rescue and he's be about six now. Oh. Billy Bob is called. And the owners who had him, the property before, they fed him basically like the little foil pouches and biscuits. And he absolutely loved it. Like, I had a really tough time getting him to eat raw. But I mean, he's hunting all the time. Is out there,
you know, don't know
what cats do, hence him being a farm cat. But yeah, my dogs were always trying to get into the bit where the cat's food was, and they're just trying to just get it all the time. And I was like, do you know?
Yeah.
You know,
why do you want this? Yeah.
So did you already know about like not feeding purine before you switched Noah onto raw?
I did, but I didn't know a lot about it.
Because I've
wanted a Dalmatian for quite a long time, so I'd done quite a lot of research into the breed.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't, there's a lot of stuff I didn't realize that she couldn't have, like, certain types of, like, oily fish and stuff, that she, they're just a complete no-go, which I didn't realize to begin with.
And yeah, it can be tough as well, because it's not really talked about enough, I don't think, is it, the issue with,
no,
you know, like, because Dalmatians is one of the breeds that affect, that's affected by it. So before we dive deeper into that, what does your natural journey look like, and how did it start? So what inspired you to kind of like jump on the raw food train?
I think it was having cats growing up that were always, they were always just fed like bog standard, like supermarket food, and I've always like been like, there's got to be something better. And then when I got a dog of my own, I was like, no, I'm gonna look into it and feed them something decent. You know, I didn't want to just feed them like supermarket brands or whatever. I wanted it to be something healthy for them and like quality.
So did you know that, did you make the decision that you were going to feed raw from the moment you decided you were going to get a dog?
Yeah, I had a freezer full of raw before she'd even arrived.
Did you?
Yeah, and then she turned her nose up the first day we got her.
That's amazing, that's amazing. Like, I didn't know about raw until I'd had Betty and Boris for about a year, probably. And I was feeding dog food and like bits of cooked thrown on the top. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just sort of like, dog might like this, you know. I used to feed them slices of ham, and I used to feed them pepperamis. I used to give them all kinds of sugar. if you know what I mean. But and now I look back and I think, could you be any worse as a pet parent feeding them stuff like
It's hard when you don't know.
It is hard when you don't know. So so they're lucky to have you, aren't they, really?
Yeah, but we had I bought a load of, it was a low purine, it was four Dalmatians, but they only did one flavor, so it was quite like, there wasn't a lot of variety when I first got her. I think that's improved a lot now. But
so do you do DIY now?
Yeah, so we do DIY for all of them, and then occasionally we'll use some brands that are suitable for Noah, but there's not a lot that are, so it's easier to do DIY. And we've got a really good raw shop near us as well, so they've only just opened and they've been amazing.
Do you enjoy doing the DIY?
Yeah,
it's addictive, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm always looking for stuff to put in their bowls and that.
I know, me too. And I'll get something new and I'm really excited about it. And my other half's like, yeah, you're a weirdo.
Yeah. we don't eat meat either, so we're like, people look at me. And, no. And people look at me like, what are you doing? Like, what's for the dogs?
So do you find that some of the low purine brands still aren't suitable for Noah then?
Yeah, I've seen a few that.
And why is that? Do you think that's because of Noah's individuality? So do you think they probably would still be okay for other Dalmatians, but Noah in this instance they're not suitable for? Or
I think there are some that just aren't suitable. And a lot of the time it's misleading, because there'll be like special diet and then have a Dalmatian on the front, and it's not it's not actually, or like, you know, sensitive or whatever.
So what kind of things do you have in Noah's diet then? Like, what does her typical bowl look like?
We tend to try and like vary the proteins that she has.
And is that just muscle meats and raw meaty bones?
And then we add eggs she can have, so we add eggs in. And she'll occasionally have salmon, because they can have that every now and again. She loves the salmon. And we like add stuff like kefir and cottage cheese and stuff to just try it, because it supposedly helps to replace the nutrients that they're missing. And like leafy greens and green veg.
So you basically miss out the organ meats and like fish. Does she not, and apart from salmon, No, you're all right, go on.
Green tripe we add in as well, that's what we can say.
Green tripe, does she like the tripe?
She loves it.
I do find it tends to be a favorite, doesn't it?
Yeah, they all love it.
Yeah, my dogs love it. I don't feed them it that often, but when they get it, they absolutely wolf it down. They really do love it.
And we do give her, she does have bones as well, so she'll have like chicken necks and like duck feet. She really likes duck feet, so
Yeah. Oh, so do you do three different bowls then for each of them? Yeah.
Sometimes Melody and Tally will have the same bowl, but
sometimes they'll have the same bowl. Yeah. So does Melody not have to have low purine?
No, because she's a cross, so she's mostly not Dalmatian, and they tend not to have the issues. So she's she's certainly never had any. So
is she less than 50% Dalmatian then?
Yeah. She's a proper mongrel. She's got 11 different breeds in her.
Has she?
Yeah, aww. She has.
What's her health like though? I bet she's a good strong dog, isn't she?
She is. The only thing she's ever had is she had a mast cell tumour removed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was low grade, and she's been completely fine since. Yeah.
Oh, she good.
A couple of weeks ago she had a lump removed, but it was benign. So
oh, that's amazing. That's good.
Yeah, it's a relief.
So what does Tally's diet look like then?
So we do like completely DIY for Tally. He can be quite fussy with vegetables and things in his diet. He doesn't really like to eat them.
And
we tried some of the pre-made raws with vegetables in, and he doesn't want to eat them. He's quite fussy. He went through a stage where he was like only eating certain proteins. He always eats beef, but everything else he can sometimes be a bit fussy with. So we include like chunks of heart and tripe, and always has raw egg. Kefir seems to really help with his gut as well, and bone broth we use all the time for him as well. He's also quite fussy with like meaty bones and stuff, so like if we want to add chicken necks, we have to cut them in half because otherwise he won't touch them. Loves like sprats and mackerel and things like that. He absolutely loves.
Oh good. My dogs get fed the same meals, and they do have additional support, like herbal support. They've both got two different issues. Like one of them, Boris, is epileptic, and Barney is sort of like hyper aroused, stressed, that kind of, you know, always on the go. Yeah. So luckily the supplements that I do use work for both dogs. So they get the same meals, but like Barney would eat, like if you threw him a full goat, he'd have a go at it. And I mean, he's only a Boston Terrier, so he's not massive, but he is literally like, you know, a savage when it comes to food. He will eat anything. He eats rose hips out of the garden and everything. Whereas Boris, he's like a bit more of a not today kind of guy, and he's a bit like that. Like sometimes he'll eat beef. I find that he's a bit pickier with the red meats. He loves the poultry meats, but like he can be picky with beef, and he doesn't always eat venison, and I have to cut the raw meaty bones up for him because even the chicken necks, like, and the chicken wings, I can only give him the tips because he just won't, like, I mean, duck feet he likes, and well, if I give him turkey necks, I chop them up anyway, because obviously they're small. It's a small dogs, but yeah, he can be picky as well. Yeah, it's they know how to give us the challenges, don't they?
They do, yeah. he gets quite stressed as well. He's quite anxious, and he can be quite reactive. So we try and give him a calming supplement, but it's very difficult to get him to eat it because he's just like, nope, you've put something in that, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. Do you know what, Boris is like I can put any supplement on Barney's plate and he will eat it. Like, he'll eat everything, absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And I think, what is it? I can't remember what it is, what he doesn't eat now, but Boris, like, I just can't get him to take kelp powder.
Oh, really?
He put kelp powder on to boost the iodine content.
Yeah.
And he just, like, whatever has got the kelp powder on, like, whether it's, you know, whichever kind of powder it is I've put on, he just avoids it massively. So now this is what I've had to do. I've had to, if I'm feeding him mackerel, like, out of a tin, so I'll get mackerel in spring water, and then I'll have to mix it in with the fish with the spring water and give him it that way. And that is the only way that I can get him to take it. Like, oh, really? Otherwise, he'll just leave it. He just leaves it.
I might have to try that for Tally.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I prefer to give them raw fish, but
yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving them a tin of sardines or mackerel or anything with spring water, then you can just feed them the juice as well. So so that is what I've had to do to get it in him.
Yeah, they do have it, the tinned one, every now and again. Just, I find it's good if he's going through a stage where he doesn't want to eat, then that tends to get him eating. So
yeah, because they absolutely love it, don't they?
They
love the stinky tinned fish, and the tripe, they're like the favourites.
Yeah.
Or scrambled egg, actually. Sometimes I might scramble an egg.
Yeah, they really like scrambled egg.
And he'll eat the kelp powder if it's in with a scrambled egg.
Oh, good.
So, how has raw feeding changed your life?
I think it's made me think a lot more about what goes into their bowl and what goes into their diet. I've always been fairly conscious, I think, but I just knew that I wanted them to be on something good, not what that really meant. And being able to give them like the variety and everything as well has been really good. And I will sit there and like look stuff up and research stuff to find out what I can give them. Yeah.
And do you still do that now? Like you still?
Yeah, I still.
Still
yeah.
learning. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
So when you first started feeding raw, did you start from a position where you used to buy like the pre-made?
We used to buy pre-made, yeah.
And then you sort of like, then at what point did you kind of stop and think, I'm going to have a go at making it myself?
It was more when we got Tally and he was like not wanting to eat any of the pre-made, and we were like, this isn't going to work for him. We're going to have to try something else. So, yeah, that really like shook things up for us. So, yeah, I looked into DIY and found someone local that we could buy a massive variety from as well.
Yeah.
And just kind of went from there, just adding things to his bowl.
No, it's just you just kind of get lost in it, don't you? I mean, sometimes I think pre-mades are all right if you've got a lot on and you just need like an easy week, because especially if you're getting, because I like to get like the bigger bones and cut them up just so that, because I don't really like feeding mince. Personally, like I do get minces from time to time for convenience, like the pre-made ones, but I prefer to give them the actual bones so it gives them something to chew on. So obviously when I'm prepping, like, if I've got to chop some bones up, then I need to obviously allocate some time for that, and sometimes they're quite difficult. So if I've got a lot on with work or whatever, or you know, it's particularly a stressful week, then I do just get the pre-mades. But I other than that, I do really enjoy doing the DIY. I think it's great. I think it's a good way to learn about the different nutrients for the food as well, isn't it? Like
definitely.
And it's a lot more transparent. Like
know exactly what it is, don't you?
Yeah. What's in there? Because I think some of the companies are a little bit naughty with stuff, aren't they?
We found that, like, because we went through a stage with Noah, because she has had allergies in the past, but she's completely fine now. But we thought she was allergic to chicken, and chicken comes up in quite a lot of the minces that say they're a different protein, say they're lamb or something, or beef. And we found they had chicken in them.
Yeah, I know. And it's only when you go looking for that information that it's obvious, isn't it? I think unless you're looking for it, then you probably just buy a meal that said lamb and just expect it to be lamb.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you trust what they say, don't you? It's not always right.
So we've obviously talked about the struggles with the low purine diets and starting the DIY, but have there been any other downfalls or struggles during your raw feeding journey?
I think we had quite a big struggle during lockdown, because this is when I lived with my mum still, she wanted to use all the freezer space because she wanted to make sure we had enough food. I don't know what she was panicking about, the apocalypse or something. And it was really difficult to keep them on raw because there was no room in the freezer. And that was quite difficult for us just logistically. I think with Tally, it's been difficult just finding out what he likes and what he'll eat. Because for a while we were like, are we going to be able to keep him on it? Because he was being so difficult, but we persevered, and he loves it now. He runs to his bowl when you feed him. But
I think as well, you know, like Dogs do form preferences for food from being super young. And I mean, if he was just, if the only thing he'd known, I mean, you did get him quite young, didn't you? But even in that short space of time, he's probably still formed a preference for whatever food he was feeding before. And if he has got a bit of a dodgy tummy, you know, he might just, they just don't want, like, we're the same. If we don't feel well, we don't want to eat, do we? So
if
he's got a bit of a dodgy gut, then it can be difficult. And sometimes it's hard to know what to do, because when you research like raw and natural feeding, and everybody's like, yeah, it's fantastic, your dog will be so healthy, there's loads of health benefits. And sometimes, although everybody says dogs love raw food, it can be challenging getting them to eat it.
Yeah. And we were worried about him losing weight, because he was quite skinny when he came to us, and trying to put weight on him, but he's like, oh, I don't want to eat. And then he's, you know, he got really bad guts. And yeah, it was really difficult for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So did you just try and feed him, like, how did you navigate that then? Did you feed him a variety of proteins every day to see what he liked, or what did you
do? I mean, originally we tried him on whitefish, because that tends to be our go-to if they've got an upset tummy. And he was like, oh, I'm not eating that. He still won't eat it now.
Won't he?
No. He loves fish, but just not whitefish. And then, we kind of just started trying them on different proteins to see what he would eat, because it was, and then we spoke to the raw shop and she suggested a few things to us, and we tried him on bone broth, and that's started him eating, so that was quite good for him.
So I bet he just had a bit of a disrupted gut then, didn't he? He just needed to sort it out, and then
and we found his behavior is better, because his gut is better as well. That has helped with that.
You mean like in terms of reactivity?
Definitely.
Also, when he's got a bad, like, does he, like, ever have, like, a flare-up, and then his behaviour changes as well?
Yeah. He's always quite reactive, but he is worse when he's having a bad tummy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's absolutely, you know, fascinating how it's all connected, isn't it, I think?
And
diets are often overlooked in cases of, you know, behavioural issues and reactivity and things like that. But even, like, it's not even just reactivity, it's like hyper arousal and stress and, you know, anxiety. It can all be signs that there's something going wrong with the gut. And I was talking about this with someone the other day, and it's just, you know, a lot of people think that they need to get the behaviorist in, because obviously there's reactive behavior, which is true, you know. It can be tricky behavior to navigate, so you do need the help of a professional. And but I think one of the main things is, like, look at the gut, look at the health of the gut and how you can support the gut, but also look at the hormones as well, because, like, hormones are the things that basically tell your body what to do. Like, hormones tell your stomach to produce gastric acid and release digestive enzymes. So if your dog is stressed or anxious, they're not going to give any kind of signal to the gut to do its job, because they're saying, no, we haven't got any time to digest food. We've got to be alert, we've got to be ready to fight or flight, and then that's how the cycle begins. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. I'm not going to say don't realize, because I mean, how would they know?
No, it is really difficult, isn't it?
It is really difficult, and it can be really hard to pinpoint exactly what's going on, can't it?
We noticed a massive difference in his behavior once we started to get things right. And I mean, he does still have bad days, but he's a lot better than he used to be. He's more settled as well, so
good, that's good, you're doing a good job.
It's been a learning curve with him. He's been
so out of the three of yours, out of Noah, Melody and Tally, which one has been the most, I don't want to say difficult, because I don't want to refer to them as difficult, but which one has been the most challenging experience in terms of getting the diet right?
With diet, I actually think it's Tally.
Even like with Noah's purine levels and everything.
I think so. Just because he's been so fussy, Noah will eat like pretty much anything nowadays. She's a bit of a dustbin. I think just Tally, because it's had such a massive effect on him, and when it wasn't right, you could really notice that in in like his personality and his behaviour.
Yeah. Oh. And how old is he now?
He's 14 months now. So,
so you've still got some of it to go then.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we've had him a year next month. So.
So out of everything, what would you say is the best thing that you have learned along your journey?
I think how we can like individualize their diets, and that we don't have to just, even though it's raw, we don't have to just feed like a set pre-made raw and that's it. Because I think I fell into that kind of trap initially and was like, oh, Noah can't have a lot, so she's just got to have this pre-made raw.
Yeah,
I much prefer being able to give her a variety as well.
So before when you fell into the trap and you thought, right, she can only have this, so she's just having like these two proteins or whatever, how did you go from that to then gaining the confidence to do DIY?
I've done a lot of research into it over the years and just thought, oh, like, should I, shouldn't I, and like not knowing whether we had like the resource and like the freezer space as well, because it does take up a lot more for us. They've got their own freezer now, so I think just doing a lot of research into it and just thinking, go for it, because you know, how long can you research it before you just think, I'm just going to try it and see.
But I do think a lot of people get stuck on that research train. They sit there and they ruminate about it and they say, I really want to try it, but I'm just so anxious about it. And this is leading to my next question. So obviously in the world of pet food, there is this brilliant thing called Complete and Balanced. And then there is this other thing which people get sticky about, which is Balance Over Time. Now, I personally prefer a Balance Over Time approach. What kind of approach do you take to yours?
We do Balance Over Time.
Yeah, so you don't use a spreadsheet or you don't use a specific recipe. You just use a combination of different whole foods and variation.
Yeah, we try and vary as much as we can.
Yeah. So, and do you feel 100% confident and comfortable with that decision?
Yeah, I think, and like so far we've seen that it's worked really well for them. And like things like being able to just like incorporate loads of variety, and like things like having leftover veg and stuff, we always give them, like, if it's suitable for them, they always get stuff like that, and eggs and fish and everything. Just balancing it over time seems to work best for us.
And it's a lot less stressful, isn't it, for you as a pet parent?
Because some days you're really busy and you think, I haven't got time to throw everything in, like,
Or if you do what I do sometimes and forget to defrost it and you need to kind of like make some concoction up, which is probably like, you know, a few eggs, a tin of sardines, a bit of coconut oil, and think, yeah, you'll be all right on that till tomorrow.
We sometimes have like a just a plain like boneless mince in the freezer that we can like have that defrosted or whatever, so they can just have that instead.
No, it's true. And I do think, you know, I do like it when I meet people who do Balance Over Time, because there is this huge debate about that you can't balance nutrients over time. But like, I mean, I balance my own nutrients over time,
and
same for my family. So dogs do have different nutritional requirements, but I think the main thing is that you know what components are needed in the bowl and what foods give them it, and then you know, that's basically, as long as you're confident in your knowledge, then why not?
Yeah, and I think it takes away the stress of like, oh, he's not eating his fish today, or he's not eating his offal today, because especially with Tally, like some days he just goes, I don't need that specific bit of my bowl, and he'll leave it.
Yeah,
and you can think, okay, well, we'll try again another day or something. You don't have to go, oh my god, he's missed it, like that's it now.
Yeah, and then start fretting about it and getting all anxious.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just the fear, isn't it? The fear in people, it stops them from achieving these amazing things with the DIY bowls.
Yeah, definitely. And people are so worried, they want to make sure they do everything right for their dog, don't they? And I understand that, definitely.
I do. I understand it completely. But I do like to see it when people balance over time, because, you know, it shows that we are capable of getting over that obstacle in our own minds and opening ourselves up to greater things, which is good.
Yeah,
in my position.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so is there anything you would say to other pet parents who may be struggling with, I don't know, if it's like jumping onto feeding raw or adopting the balance over time approach, in terms of support, what would you say to them?
I would say that, I guess, just to kind of go for it and to look into it as much as you can, but ultimately, if you think it's going to be the right thing for your dog, then to give it a try and see how it goes. You know, it's been like amazing for our dogs, and yeah, I think just think it's a nicer way to feed them, and you can still make sure they're getting everything that they need. You don't have to necessarily panic that they're not getting everything. You know, you can make sure that they are.
And I think one of the things that we need to remember as well, like when people talk about switching to raw and trying raw, like they somehow get it in their mind that once they've done the switch, it's like permanent. Whereas you can try it for a bit, and if it doesn't work, you can try something else. So
the
main thing is that you try it, at least try it and see for yourself. If you've been doing the research and you've been sitting on this fence for a while and thinking, is it going to be that much better, you know, should I, shouldn't I, then, you know, just try it for a bit, see for yourself, and then decide.
Yeah, and even if you try, because I know some people, they'll try one brand and then the dog doesn't like it or it doesn't do as well as they thought, and then they go, okay, we'll go back to what we were before. Like sometimes trying a different brand or trying a DIY or something can be
definitely because I mean, each of the different brands have their own pros and cons, don't they?
So, they do, yeah, definitely.
So it's definitely worth trying a few different proteins, a few different brands, and just trying to get your dog.
Yeah, and I think if you can find a supplier locally, that's been a massive help for us, because we were just ordering it from one supplier and they only had what, it was only their brand, whereas we can get like 5 or 6 different brands now.
Yeah, and then you don't have to pay the big delivery charge either.
Exactly, yeah.
So go out and find your local raw shops, people. Okie dokie. So do you have any plans for the future in terms of your raw feeding?
Just to carry on, like increasing my knowledge and adding the varieties like as much as we can to the bowls.
Keep trying new things. Every day is a school. Keep trying to seek out the new the new organ meats from the different animal or whatever. I mean, I wonder what we're going to see on the market next. I've seen alpaca, I've seen kangaroo, I've seen all kinds of weird and wonderful things. So I wonder what we're going to get next.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think I've seen quail as well.
Quail?
Interesting, yeah.
Oh, yeah, my dogs love quail.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dogs love quail.
Oh, good, yeah.
Barney loves it. Well, actually, to be fair, Boris loves them too, but Barney will eat them. He'll eat them whole.
Oh, will he?
Yeah. he's savage, I've told you.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah, I think Noah probably would as well if she got her paws on one, actually.
Yeah. And they're only really tiny, though. Like, they're really small. Like, I was shocked at how small they are when I first got them. I don't know why I was expecting them to be big, because I knew they were small birds, because I mean their eggs are tiny. They're teeny tiny. Okay, Georgia, so if anyone wants to jump on and follow along with your journey with Noah, Tally and Melody, where can they find you?
We're on Instagram. It's at Spotty and Rotty.
At Spotty and Rotty, and is that with an IE?
It's Spotty with a Y and Rotty with an IE.
I'm testing you now. Okie dokie. So I will put a link directly to your Instagram page in the show notes so everybody can pop on and follow along. So thank you ever so much for joining me this evening. It's been wonderful to chat to you and learn about the different diets for your dogs. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have. Thank you.
Good stuff. And we will speak to you soon.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Me and my guests express our own views, thoughts and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.